We thank the Lord for the countries represented around the sanctuary here. Flags up, and Frank and Sharon Kohler, thank you. Getting those flags up. Exciting to think that God loves all those people in all those countries. 250 countries, I think, throughout the world, maybe a little bit more at this point. So the Lord is seeking many, many people. We're glad He was seeking for us when our hearts knew our sin problem. I want to give credit to Dr. Gary Smalley, who wrote the book, Five Love Languages. It's about God's love for people and how that love could be shared person to person. So how many ever read the book, Five Love Languages? The first group, pretty good. See, the ones who had their hands raised, you are automatic marriage counselors, all right? So we're going to check you out after church and give us some help. We're glad about that. But God's love made to impact friend to friend, okay, worker to worker, Christian brother to Christian brother, Christian sister, and brother to sister, and also husband to wife, and parents to child, child to parents. It just permeates all kind of relationships. And the Bible makes it clear that Jesus is preeminent in the universe. We're so thankful that in every molecule we see the fingerprint of God, every mountain, every person. And we're also glad that in Jesus' relationship to us, love seems to be preeminent. It's how He decided to come and be our Savior. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son. And I want to say right off the bat, when I was a young Christian, even 10 years, 15 years into following the Lord, sad to say and painful to say that love as a motive and as a goal was not on the radar screen in terms of what I thought a Christian was and did. And that's a painful thing to realize. And I did a lot of things as a young Christian, you know. I figured, okay, church, did the church thing. Once I understood that was a part of following Jesus. And the Bible, definitely did the Bible thing. In the college days, I went to three Bible studies every week, plus worship, plus evening worship, plus Sunday school. My grades never got above a C. Okay, because I was, let's just hang out with the Christians. That's what you do. And but love wasn't in there. Serving, I'd love to serve. Ask me to do anything, I'd do it. And it felt like, what's her name? What's Love Got to Do with It? Whoever sang that song, that's the way I thought about following Christ. What's love got to do with it? You know, I'm just going to do these things. I'm going to get into this stuff and totally awkward about love. But God gets after us with His Word and through other believers. We discover love is strong. Love is fearless. Love is also painful. Love is very difficult. And good news, love grows. Love grows. So if you are like me, sometimes my love's about this much, you know. But that love can grow. And God can do that for us. He's the source. John said, this is what love is. Jesus laid down His life for us, so we lay down our lives for one another. That's 1 John 3:16. Nice little address there to go along with Gospel 3:16, 1 John 3:16. Here's love. Jesus did this, and we do this for one another. I like Ephesians 2. Because of His great love with which He loved us, because of God's mercy, He made us alive with Christ. So we're born again because of the love of God. We say, I received Jesus. And we're spiritually dead, and then we spiritually come to life. Okay. And we go to heaven on the motive of Jesus' love. Pass my love around. Pick right up and take my brother's hand. Pass my love around. That's an old song from my old Catholic days there. But Jesus gives love to us, and He commands us to love. Love one another as I have loved you. your joy will be full if I tell you this. And this is my commandment, love one another. So it has to do with a surrendered act of the will, the gift of love. And Jesus, of course, he gives us those two great commands, love God, love your neighbor. It can't get any more great than that. And he said, be a disciple. This is how people know you're a disciple. Disciples is a big word, follower. You're definitely, your heart's toward the Lord. And here's how people know you're a disciple, if you have love one for another. Okay. So in our following Jesus and being a disciple with that love, the gift of love, it's not so much how much we know, it's how much we love. That's a key. That makes you a good disciple. We in our church, we have a disciple-making group of people. That's a leadership. We're so thankful. They do so much. And they're really good at what they do because it's not so much how much they know, but how much they love. That caused them to do all that they do. Sunday school teachers have a good bunch of them, 12, 10 every week, getting into God's Word. And again, with a great Sunday school teacher, it's not so much how much they know, but it's how much they love. Love God and love the students. You know from school that that's what makes a good teacher. And the textbook thing will come. Awana workers, youth leaders, elders, pastor, choir. I think they hit every note perfectly this morning. And special music and so forth. But not so much how much music they know, but again, the love of God. Oh, we love God. We've been changed by His love. That's what makes the difference. Worship guy and gal in the pew. Hey, it's not so much how much you know out there, right? At this very moment. Sunday morning, how much do you know? It's like, I'm here. Where am I? I'm in church, yeah. Not so much how much you know, it's how much you love. Okay? I can love God back. He's loved me. And to get that in our soul is a gift from God. The old radio guy says, get it? Got it? Good. The primacy of love. And when you love what Jesus loved, you're being a very knowledgeable Bible guy. You really are. And when you love what Jesus loved, you're being a very knowledgeable Bible gal. Because you're saying, this God's Word, He told me about Himself and this great love, and now I can love others. There was a big old German theologian in the, I think, the 20s to the 40s, Karl Barth. He tried to get the church back to the Lord, didn't do a very good job because he had doubts himself. But he wrote about 100,000 pages about the Lord, trying to get people, you turn to God and so on. And somebody asked him one day, hey, what's the whole point of being a Christian? He said, here's the point. He said, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. So even a crusty theologian knew that. He knew that was the only hope for himself and for humanity. Apostle Paul, here comes love out of him. Great missionary, servant, good heavens, beat up to the point of death many times and suffered, had gifts. He said, greatest gift is really love. He said, better than all knowledge. I think, from Genesis to Revelation, what if I understood every verse in the Bible perfectly? I mean, I knew the meaning absolutely perfectly. But if I didn't love others, Paul said, how much that would count? Less than one. It would be a zero. Okay, we don't want to be a zero following Jesus. We want to have His truth set us free to love. That was Paul, the Apostle Peter. He was the same thing. He said, the end of all things is near. Above all, love each other deeply. Love covers a multitude of sins. Be surprised how many times in the Bible, when it talks about the end of the world, it starts talking about love in there. Love grows cold sometimes. Jesus taught that in Matthew 24. Paul said people will become unloving or love the wrong thing, lovers of self. And so love was a big theme in terms of talking about the second coming. And help people with that as we see things coming to a close in history. Now, some things about love to know from God's Word. Love is stronger than a feeling, although feelings are involved. Hopefully, your heart's in it and your emotions. The cross is the best expression of love. Jesus said, I give my life for sinners. It's God's faithfulness, His mercy, His grace. Even in God's law, there's love. Because He's saying, this is a good way to live, and this is a way of destruction and sin to live. Stay away from that. But love is heartfelt faithfulness and commitment from God. And we want to be changed by that. It doesn't come naturally. I think in the church and in the culture we want to get away from, and I defer and don't mean any disrespect to this singer, but we want to get away from what I call the Barry Manilow love. Barry Manilow was a singer in the 70s. How many are familiar with him? Sing a few songs. The men's hands went right up. They like that. But Barry Manilow, love was like all over the place. He was always talking about, oh, it was here and it's gone. And what am I going to do? He was kind of like the Adele of the 70s. I feel bad for Adele. She hasn't sang. It's all sad in her life, apparently. But Barry Manilow said, he wrote a song, I looked up and down trying to get the feeling again. Sometimes we treat God like that. If I could just get this feeling about God like I used to have, just a little up, I'm looking up, down, all around, my knees are shaking, my heart is breaking, my back is breaking, aching. What, can I get the love from God? Would you want to have the emotions, or you want to do what God asks you to do? That's what it comes down to a lot of times. Do you want the feeling, or do you want to do what God asks you to do? If you do what God asks you to do, you'll start to feel something, I'm telling you. You'll feel like, woo, here we go. And God can help us to do that. Alistair Begg, the pastor, comes in and wife shares with him. And we've all been in this boat, so it's a painful thing. The wife says, my husband doesn't love me. He yells. He lays around. He's not motivated. He spends everything we have. Does not express love. This is a loveless marriage, and I'm done with it. And he said, Pastor Beck said, well, so you're saying it's getting worse? She said, yes, it's getting worse. And he said, well, you know, by the grace of God, you signed up for the worse. You know, you said I'm there in the worst times. I'm there. When it's sick, it's just sick, you know. How can we love hitting this situation? This is sick. But I love when it's sick, in sickness, and when it's poor, you know. And, you know, the whole thing was a poor experience, but you can love it when it's poor. And God gives you the strength of that. Because when we were sick and, you know, loveless and nothing going well toward God, he did love us, so he could help us take that step. That's all. I remember the first time I did marriage counseling of a guy and a gal, dear people, who having troubles. This is way from in a distant century, way a long time ago, in another part of the Pennsylvania. And I was 28 years old. I'd just become a pastor, and I thought, oh. I was not married, didn't have a girlfriend, and I thought, I know nothing about marriage. I am up the crick. And these people were up the crick for coming to me, I'll tell you that much. And I thought, what am I going to tell them? I don't know what to tell them. Maybe I'll read the 23rd Psalm and say, go home and think about that one. I was really in trouble. And so I'm talking, first the wife and then the guy, and the guy, he had left his wife and was living with another gal, so he was way out of bounds. And I said, well, I think God wants you to love your wife. I got that part right. And I said, what are you doing with the girl you're with? You know, what are you doing there? Well, I do this, and we do this, and I do that. I says, whatever you're doing with that gal, go start to do that, because you're really enjoying that, apparently. Go start to do that with your wife. Okay? Take her out. And then start to give your gifts. And you start to give your life and your heart and the need for forgiveness and so on. You start to do that. And believe me, the way you feel about this one over here, you'll feel that way about your wife. You really will. That's a good lesson, you know, that the Lord helped him. These two, they kept going. It was so nice. Eventually got back. The wife was, she was so forgiving to, you know, say, okay, we'll see. We'll start from scratch. We'll start from scratch and see what the Lord can do. But if you obey God, then sometimes feelings will flow. Might take a long time, but God's faithful. Hey, your heart's not, you know, a rock, nor is the other person's. They're a human being. So God can work through that. So finally getting to Gary Smalley's five ways he says God loves us and we love others. First, words of faithfulness or words of affirmation. You can do this again, friend to friend, Christian to Christian, husband to wife. By the way, husband to wife thing is only true about maybe half, two-thirds of the church. About half the church are not married. Just where we're at. So God gives us words of affirmation. I love you with an everlasting love, he says in Jeremiah. So we say, wait a minute, that's amazing. God rejoices over us with singing. So he's always so glad. He made us. Can you imagine making a human being and saying, wow, I can love. And he keeps us as the apple of his eye. Do you feel like the apple of God's eye? Well, you don't have to feel like it, but you could say that's the truth. I'm a little bit joyful today and I have peace. Why is that? Because the Bible says I'm the apple of God's eye. And so, of course, so is the other person. David felt that. And so give words of affirmation and build up the other person that things are true. Hey, you look great. You always look nice. That's true. Sometimes use your imagination. You look very handsome in those new socks. Gals, if you want to build up the guys, here it comes. Ready? You're really good at your work. Woo-hoo. Guys, well, we love that, you know. And to give thanks. Thank you. Thank you so much for what you mean. Isn't it true that God used a person in your life, your friend, your Christian brother and sister, or your spouse, to they were like the person that God used to teach you how to love. That's what a gift. So that's words of affirmation. Then there's quality time. That's a good one. All time with God's quality time. Jesus said, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you or forsake you. The praise song from Vicki Brewer there, that was blessing. And then I like this one, when we can't be there physically. Two times Paul said this. He said, I'm not there with you. I'm not physically there, but I'm with you in spirit. So even if you're not around people, you could say, well, hey, my heart was with you. You know, I was at church and you were home, but my spirit was with you. And I was praying for you and thinking about you. And that's means a lot. And the places we go, God goes before us. You go to the doctor's office. He was there preparing the room. Preparing the doctor. And time together. What does it look like? Friend to friend, Christian brother and sister, spouse. If they like to walk, you walk. Walk with them. If they like the ball game, you go to the ball game. Gals, you're going to have to go the extra mile for that. Maybe that's, or vice versa. Man gave a testimony. He said, my wife loved the symphony. I never understood the symphony. I just didn't understand it. He went to all the symphonies she went to. He said, I never learned to love the symphony, but I learned to love my wife at the symphony. I just loved her getting into the music. And that's how That's how love is and love does. Quality time. The church may go bowling, thankfully, too, with somebody's idea with the youth and adults. Church bowling. How many are excited about church bowling? There's five of you. But, you know, church bowling, I know somebody who say, I hate bowling, I'm not going. Ball's too heavy, my fingers don't fit, I have to wear somebody else's smelly shoes. Where else would you voluntarily put on somebody's shoes and then pass them on to the next guy? Only bowling. But what you'll say is, I love church people at bowling. Even at bowling, I love you. God can do that. Same thing with Bible study time. This happens a lot. I'm not going to the Bible study because, or Sunday school, whatever the case, because I don't know what they're talking about. It's over my head. So what? You love them, right? You love them at the Bible study in Sunday school where you don't know what's going on. Or this one more often, I'm not going to the Bible study or Sunday school because I already know all that. I'm already an expert in that. So, your love is not an expertise yet. Go and love the people where you already know everything. You'll be more ready to love people. Because it's not so much how much you know, it's how much you love. And then, so that's the, that's all under time together. And then the gifts that God gives, His Spirit, His Son, spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters in Christ, daily bread. James says every good gift from above. The gift of eternal life. And so we could give gifts, and it doesn't matter what kind of gift it is. You can give dandelions in a glass of water. Just stick it on the table. It'll make an impact. Okay. Hopefully a good one now. And a sticky note. We're a sticky note family. And sometimes you'll say, oh, look at this. This is a good message. The gift. Give the gift of glove. Give yourself. And then there's actions of service. Two more ways to love. Actions of service. This is important. Jesus said, I'm among you as one who serves. And he said, the Son of Man came to serve. All the ways to serve. It's a great bunch of servant Christians. You know, the snow shoveling thing, the lawn, the dishes, the nursery, the diaper changing thing. There's a story of Mr. Cathy, who's the CEO of Chick-fil-A. Okay, Chick-fil-A, pretty good, strong restaurant. He goes with a pastor to Taco Bell. It's a rival. They just go to get something to eat. They go to the restroom, and Mr. Cathy gets his, paper towels out, and he starts cleaning the sink, cleaning the mirrors, and anything on the floor, he picks it up, puts it away. Pastor looks at him like, wow, thank you for doing that for the restaurant. He said, oh, we always taught our people just to be servers, you know, wherever they go. And you and I could do that in the home. Try to keep it like it was when you got there, or even better, in the church. Don't say, oh, so-and-so will fix it, you know. No, so-and-so has enough to do. If you messed it up, you make it right. How about that pew you're sitting in? When you got here, hopefully it was a little bit clean, because I preached this at the first service. Don't leave your Kleenex in there. Nobody wants that Kleenex. Don't leave your paper, candy. Don't leave your bulletin. Why? Because you serve. You like to serve. That's all. You're all about serving as a Christian. And, so many opportunities. And God, believe me, God will honor himself through your life. Jesus did the act of service 100% at the cross. He demonstrated his love, giving his life. And then the last one, so you had words, time, gifts, service. Last one, touch. God touches us physically, doesn't he? He made us physical people. It's just not like, oh, let's just be spiritual with each other. Ready? Touch. Reclaim touch from the society that says touch is bad and touch is dirty. Touch is dirty. It's not dirty. God made us to shake hands, greet each other. In Paul's day, there was a more intimate greeting. Reclaim touch as from God, because it's not from men. It's not from humanity, the idea of the touch. It's from God. It's amazing what a handshake can do. If you're not a touch person, smile. That's a touch. Eye-to-eye contact. Great way to... Just God's love. When God looks at you, he's eye-to-eye contact into your soul. Hand on the shoulder. When you go to a hospital visit, you know, or a sick person, touch the sick person. You know, appropriately. Put your hand on their hand or arm. Pray, oh, I'm praying for you. That's important. How many times Jesus touched people? He touched the blind eyes of the people who couldn't see. He went over and touched them. He touched the person who couldn't hear. He touched their ears. He touched his hand on the lady with the fever. He touched the lepers to heal them. He placed his hands on children to bless them. You want to help the teenagers and the children in the church? Maybe not teenagers on the head, but the hand, God bless you, or help you. Even in heaven, Jesus touched the apostle John. He fell down in Revelation and said, oh, I'm so afraid. I think Jesus in his glory is here. Jesus went over and put his hand on John. Maybe when you go to heaven, Jesus will put his hand on you. Say, fear not. He's the first and the last. And the whole purpose, again, is because God loves us. We can love other people that way, because Paul would say, well, in a way, it's a touch thing. You're a letter from Christ known and read by everybody. Not everybody, most people you see, of course, this week, you've heard it before, they're not going to read their Bible, but they can read a letter from Christ. You. Known and read by everybody. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians. And that they might know the love of God. Oh, there goes somebody who, they look like they're loved. I wonder what kind of love they have. Human love, but stronger. It's the love of God. And he so loved the world he gave his son. So give your love away as God gave his love to you. And remember, it's a growing thing. So be very, very patient with yourself. Be very merciful to other Christians. If other Christians aren't loving, just say that they're just growing. Take the most grumpy, unloving Christian in the world, you know. And God's loving somebody through them. Just they'll pass it on with his grace. And let's pray together. Lord, be our strength and show yourself great through your people in the day that needs love. The love of Christ that went to Calvary and rose from the dead, sent your spirit to teach us this new way. In Jesus' name, amen.